believe it's always a time and an occasion of rejoicing when God's saints are together and can praise the Lord. And I was privileged the other night to have one of my church members with me. She'd never been to a conference, and I said, what do you think about the conference? And she said, it's just like a big homecoming. I said, now you got it. You've got it right. You really have. I said, did you notice how all of us preachers acted? And not only the preachers, but every now and then somebody else would act up a little too. You know, I meant by that rejoicing in the things of the Lord. My heart's been made to rejoice. And I've cried as much as I can. I've got to preach now. And I hope I can preach. I've done all that I can out there, and my handkerchief's wet, so you'll have to apologize. You'll have to excuse me for a minute. I'm going to preach. I thought as I listened to all the messages that I was privileged to hear, and truly, if there's ever a time the Lord has been exalted, it's during this conference, and that's a desire, I believe, of every person here, and that desire of my heart. And what I'm going to preach this morning, there's been bits of it that's been placed in everywhere, and I'd say praise the Lord, preach more of it. And we've heard about tribulation, we've heard about suffering, we've heard about salvation, we've heard about service, and we've heard about sanctification. We've heard about the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why do we believe all these things? Why do we feel as we feel this morning? What's the basis on it? You say, yeah, we're saved. Yeah, I know that we're saved. But there's something that I believe the Word of God has for us. Now, if you'll notice this verse that I've given you here in Hebrews 11, 1, and don't miss the first word, now. Don't miss the first word, now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, seemingly, I'm going to preach on the subject of faith. Somebody said one time, so you're never supposed to tell your subject nor what you're going to say. Well, for goodness sakes, how are they going to know? I'm going to preach on the subject of faith. Seemingly, faith is a mystery to the religious world. There's basically three things that is in mystery to them. Where does faith come from? Where does faith originate? And what happens to faith? Lest I be misunderstood this morning, the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want that clearly understood. I'm not going to exonerate faith to the expense of Jesus Christ. But you know, if you don't explain that today, somebody will interpret you as preaching that. We're a picky bunch. We are. Everybody's got to cross all their eyes. I mean, cross their eyes. Yeah, that's good. That's about the way we did. Dot their I's and cross all their T's. I mean, they really do. And if we can find the least little hole that we can squeeze in, we'll find something wrong. So I say this at the beginning because I am going to preach about faith. And the object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't separate the two. If you do, you're in trouble. Now, the Bible, it says faith is. From the negative, it does not originate or come from man. Neither from without nor within by the efforts of man. It does not. You know why? Y'all know why? Because he is dead in trespasses and sins. He is totally depraved. He does not have the ability to produce faith. As a matter of fact, he don't have the ability to produce anything. I'll just put that in too. Every person before being saved is filled with fear and distrust and surrounded by doubt. But then from the positive, all faith comes from God. Now God, it comes from Him. He has His design of how He channels faith to us. And we must understand that God is the author of all things. Whether it is mercy, grace, love, or faith, God is the author of all things. And Paul wrote, but he has a way of giving this faith to certain individuals. Not all men have faith. Not all men shall have faith. But those that God has designed or purposed to have faith will have faith, and God will channel it to them through the means that He has ordained for it to come to them. That's why y'all are so happy this morning. That's the reason that we can rejoice in suffering. That's the reason we can rejoice in tribulation. That's the reason we can rejoice in the second coming. You don't have that ability. And it's not, you have it that God's given to you, but of yourself, you do not have that ability. This verse of Scripture that was used the other night, and I'll use it again, is, and I'll just read this for you, Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So, the Apostle Paul, I believe, describes best when he wrote in Hebrews, when he said in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He said again when writing to Timothy, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith ain't in you. As a person that has never been born again and totally depraved, faith is in Jesus Christ. He went on and said in 2 Timothy 1:13, faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I believe the Bible teaches this very clearly. It's not what I believe, but I believe, and I do believe it though, but I mean it's not because I believe it that makes it true. But the Bible teaches us very plainly that this faith that I want to speak about today is for God's elect. The reference of this, and it's not for anybody else. Nobody else will ever have it. You don't have to worry about that. They'll never have it. It is for God's elect. That's why when Paul writing to Titus said in Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. I'm so thankful. Now you think about this text verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So this faith is for God's elect. He designs and channels it to them through the avenue that God has given. And that is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to notice and consider three different aspects of this faith. It's not three different faiths, but it's three different aspects of this faith. There's only one faith that is the faith that I'm speaking of here. Now, I believe that in this verse of Scripture, In Hebrews 11:1, it regards the faith of the Old Testament saints. I believe it regards that in this passage of Scripture. It is the same faith of the New Testament saints. It is a firm persuasion of the power of God in Christ. It is a firm persuasion of the faithfulness of God in Christ. And it is a firm persuasion of the love of God in Christ. It's also the persuasion of all special blessings. Now, included in this faith is more grace. The perseverance in it. There is included in this the resurrection of the dead. There is included in this faith eternal life. So faith is the substance of these things. It is the ground and the cause of these. It is evidence of things not seen. Things done in eternity past. Why do you believe that? Why do you believe that in eternity past God chose the people in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world? Why do you believe that? We don't have the ability to come up with such a belief. We don't even have the ability to come up with such knowledge. So it is the evidence of things not seen, things done in eternity past. But it is also the evidence of things not seen, things done in time. Now that's where we are, and that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about time. I love eternity. I love eternity. I love the eternal ages. The glorious truth. Now there are three aspects of this faith that the Lord gives me grace. I want to preach to you today. And that is, first of all, the first aspect of this faith is saving faith for the elect. Saving faith for the elect. No one is ever saved apart from faith. And every person is dead and does not have the ability for faith. That's pretty hopeless and helpless, isn't it? That's the way it is. Somebody said, well, why do you preach people like that? Because it's truth, and that's what they need to know. Saving faith is given. It is a grace. The familiar passage of Scripture that we are familiar with, and I'm talking about God, I'm going to talk about in the context of this message, God dealing with His people in time. Amen. And brother, it starts with saving faith. That's where it starts. In Ephesians 2:8-9, I'm sure that you're well aware of that. It says, for by grace are you saved. Now notice, through faith. And you'll always notice, dealing with God's children, there's always through faith. But by grace are you saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now what is that? I believe in, and I had that down, a sign I'm getting younger. I know that scripture by heart, but I'm going to go there because I want to bring this out right. For by grace are you saved through faith, and here it is, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith. Faith cometh as a gift of God. Man cannot of himself have faith. He cannot generate faith. He cannot produce faith. And I believe that we see here, faith comes through God's ordained means. And God has ordained the means whereby that it would come. We know that faith is centered in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you cannot separate the two. But then why did Paul say this? Now God ordained the way. Paul said this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'll tell you something else. Not only can you not separate Christ and faith, but you can't separate the Word and Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Everyone that is saved, they receive this faith. They don't accept it. I'm trying to change my terminology. Through the years, you know, I have an Armenian background. And through the years, you know, you have to work on your terminology. To accept something means I could have rejected it. That ain't the way it is. Now you say, well, I got a right to reject a gift. I want to. You won't reject this gift. So everyone that is saved receives this faith. They receive it. And they're happy when they receive it. Sometimes people are trying to argue against what the Bible teaches, you know, almost has people mad, being saved mad. No one's saved mad. We're saved glad. And we're happy, and because it is the Lord, it is God that makes us willing in the day of His power. We didn't want it, but God works on us, on our water, and all of a sudden we want it more than anything else. Even Abraham had this. Romans speaks of this in Romans chapter 4, and therein, verse 9, when he said, he's talking about blessed is the man, or happy is the man whom the Lord not impute sin. He said, cometh this blessing upon them, the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also. For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Faith was imputed, or faith was given, or faith was charged to Abraham for righteousness. Where did it come from? Abraham didn't have this faith. Where did it come from? It came from God. But how Abraham saw my day. Glad the gospel was preached even to Abraham. Now saving faith is the access to Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, and there in verse 1, listen to what it says. Therefore, being justified by faith, I notice, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and of course, Jesus Christ is subject matter here, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory. Paul basically gave us the same truths when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. When he said there in the third chapter of the book of Ephesians and in verse 11 and verse 12, when he said this, he said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. The saving faith that we have gives us a perfect standing. Perfect. So really, in essence, this first aspect of this faith that Paul is speaking of here, saving faith is the beginning of our salvation. It's the beginning of it. Saving faith. Now the object of our salvation and our Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. But saving faith is the beginning of our salvation. So this saving faith is for the elect. Now let's go to the second aspect of this faith. Living faith. God never saved anybody that didn't equip them to live. So there is living faith, and this living faith is for the elect. Now, y'all might think I'm hung up on that, but that's just the truth. And I am hung up on it. As a matter of fact, you all are too. You know, say it every now and then. You know, say it when you preach. The moment that a person receives saving faith, they begin to experience living faith.
the very moment. This living faith is as much a part of God's plan for us as saving faith. You know how I know that? The Lord told me so. The Father's design for His children is this. Romans 1:17 and Galatians 3:10 says, the just shall live by faith. He didn't mean with that maybe. You don't maybe live by faith. If you've been saved by the grace of God and have this saving faith, you live by faith. Paul was a great example of this. And many others we find in the Word of God were great examples of this great truth. Listen to Galatians chapter 2 and therein verse 20. Now listen to what he said. For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Notice, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The world doesn't understand how the child of God lives, for they live by sight. When you go to church all the time, they can't understand that. When you bury your loved ones and at the same time praise God, they don't understand that. When you live godly lives, when you sacrifice in this life for the cause of Christ, they don't understand that. You know why they don't? They don't have this living faith. They're living beside. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, and I believe he gives us a good example here in 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 and in verse 1 through 7, when he's speaking in the context of the subject of leaving this life and going to the very place that God has for us. Listen to what he said. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not eternal. Let me get this all over. I'm just excited this morning. I can't even read. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, how come you know that? God said it, and I agree with that. But God has said it a lot of times, and a lot of people don't believe it. And the reason for it is because it's of this faith that God has given us. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. The whole reason that we know these truths is because we walk by faith. What we have here is three things in this these verses that I read. I don't have time to expound on them. We have a certain walk, we have a confident walk, and we have a comforting walk. The reason that we have these three different walks in this verse is for we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen. You ever get sidetracked? I do. But I'm always ashamed, aren't you? I'm not ashamed of the Lord, or I'm not ashamed of faith. I'm ashamed of me. And one of the greatest blessings is, now you think about, these are all of the things that God does for His people. He not only gives them saving faith, which they could never have apart from Him, but He gives them living faith. That's where we are right now. I like to talk about now. I mean, I like to talk about the future too. You know, I like to talk about the future, and it's going to be glorious. Brother, there's not a greater truth than what our brother's just preaching. And I can sit there and I can see all that. And he introduced it at the beginning. Why we see it, I said, hallelujah. You're on the right. I mean, I'm on the right track. I'm trying to say he's on the right track because he's always on the right track. But I mean, hallelujah, I'm on the right track. Brother, we see these wonderful things that God gives us, in other words, to live. We're able to stand by faith. There'll be times it'll be, you say it's hard to stand. That's where this living faith comes in. And then there's many scriptures throughout the Word of God that has to deal with it. And the blessing of it is, He not only gives us faith to live by, but He supplies us the very amount that's needed. He don't give it to us all at one time. I couldn't stand it. This is almost more than I can take. In here, you know, when these fellows get to shouting, and, you know, I'd like to. Now, maybe I will one day. But anyway, the thing of it is, I've not got beyond that stage yet. I've not got beyond the stage of crying. I'm not saying nothing wrong with either one. But somebody said one time, said, that preacher cries too much. I said, well, I wish I could cry. I'll never condemn any preacher because he cries. We're cold. Baptists are the cold, callousest people ever was. We've got into a ritualism and a form, and we have become so stagnant. And our orthodoxy has driven us to hardness. I'm fed up with it. I really am. Yeah, I really am. You can see all of my form and everything, you know, up here. Okay, but He supplies us with the amount needed. Listen to this. Romans chapter 12. These first two verses have been mentioned, and I'm going to read them again because I'm going to focus on verse 3. But I'm going to read them. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Now, notice the subject talking about that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which you are reading with service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. But notice verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, now you're able to do verse 1 and 2 because of verse 3. Through the grace given unto me to every man. And if you're living for the Lord, you better praise God for it. And not look down your nose at somebody that's not. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. Praise be to God. For His grace and His faith that he gives us to live. When the occasions and the time comes, there will be the trials of faith. And the trying of your faith, in the trying of your faith, it becomes more precious. 1 Peter 1:7. So the trial of your faith and also the trying of your faith, James said in James 1:3. Songwriter, no doubt, and I think this is a scriptural song. Now, y'all don't try to sing them scriptural songs. I think the songwriter pretty well captured this, and he said, I care not today what the morrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of light, I'm never alarmed at the overcast skies. The Master looks on at my side. I know that He safely will carry me through, no matter what evil betide. Why should I then care, though the tempest may blow, if Jesus walks close to my side? Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be over. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond that heavenly shoulder. Living by faith. But it comes like this. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. You know what faith really is? I know the Bible says, and I believe this, but this is what the Lord's given me. Faith is a God-given ability to trust.
just a simple definition of faith.
Faith is a God-given ability to trust. Trust Him when you're saved, and trust Him while you live. And so this is what came to my heart and mind. It said, this song is in your book. It says, simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way. Even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. Brightly doth His Spirit shine into this poor heart of mine. While He leads, I cannot fall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Singing, if my way is clear. Praying, if the path is be drear. If in danger, for Him call. Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting Him while life shall last. Trusting Him till earth be past. Till within the jasper wall. Trusting Jesus, that is all. That's living faith. But that's not all of this faith. I mean, I can no means even touch it this morning. But there is the saving faith for the elect. There's the living faith for the elect. And there's the keeping faith for the elect. Amen, Amen. The third aspect of this faith is keeping faith. 1 Peter chapter 1 and therein verse 5. You're familiar with this passage of Scripture. You're in 1 Peter 1 and in verse 5. And I would, if I really had time, read those verses preceding there. And the reason I'm going to say this, and I'll mention one word from them. You notice, who's he talking about in verse 5 when he said, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time? You don't have to guess who he's talking about. Look at the first word in verse 2. Elect. Saving faith is for the elect. Living faith is for the elect. And keeping faith is for the elect. Amen. God not only saves us by His grace, gives us that faith, but after He saves us, He enables us to live for Him by that faith, and He keeps us by that faith. And the consummation on the end of it is wrapped up in that verse 2. And okay. Elect or kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now we're already saved, but he's talking about the consummation of our salvation. He's talking about we're not completely saved yet. You've been saved by the grace of God, but in the context of Romans 12, 1 and 2, he's talking about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice, and he says he's given unto every man the grace and the measure of faith that he might be able to do that. And we may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God, that we may be conformed to His image. The power is of God, and the faith also is of God. I don't belittle either one. The verse of Scripture doesn't. The power is of God, yes, but we're kept by the power of God through faith. We're saved through faith. We live by faith. God gives these to us. Amen. We're kept steadfast. When Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, listen to what he said, and I'm going to use some verses here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 7. Colossians 2, he says this. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now, let me tell you something. The reason he said your faith is because it belonged to them. It was theirs. God had given it to them. But he said, beholding your steadfastness. So I believe it is through, by the power of God, through faith, that we are kept steadfast. Sometimes we get to feeling pretty good about ourselves, don't we? That's right. The biggest enemy I have is me. It really is. But we're not only kept steadfast, but we're kept from Satan. This keeping faith keeps us from Satan. When Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, listen to what he says in Ephesians chapter 6. Brethren, we need this keeping faith. I've never The Lord has led us to start a work in Hopkinsville. I've never seen the devil work as hard in my life. From people that I didn't even think. That's what's floored me. And you know, I started to say, well, I know that that work's got to be of the Lord. We've had so much opposition. But I know also we've had a lot of blessings too. You don't gauge it just on having trouble. You can have trouble anywhere. The fellow gave us $10,000 for a buy lot. Devil didn't do that. Brother got home yesterday in the mail. You know, in the mail. We didn't solicit. We ain't solicited nothing. We ain't soliciting church members or other people. We're not soliciting anything. We don't want it that way. If you don't want to support it, don't do it. I don't mean this harshly. Don't do it. Do what the Lord leads you to do. I didn't mean to say anything about this because I'm preaching on faith, but that's faith too. It's faith too. There's some things need to be said. This kind of thing. Because our dependence is not in men, but our dependence is in God. God has a people. God seeks them out. He gives them saving faith. Well, if you don't feel led the Lord to support our work, we'll be your closest friend. And we'll come and shake hands with you and love you and preach for you and you can preach for us and things like that. This old jealousy and bitterness and stuff is ought to be a thing of the past. Be a thing that's gone. That's what has hurt. Thing. Well, that's just part of being kept steadfast. This is just keeping faith. The Lord does it. We don't do it. I don't have this ability. This brother don't have this ability. You don't have this ability. But God does it for us. It's keeping faith. We're kept from Satan. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now there is your faith and there is the faith. And God equips you with the faith that he's given you to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then he also tells us later on, when he talks to the Apostle Peter, he said, who resists steadfast in the faith? We must remember this. I believe that he gives us victory over the world. 1 John chapter 5. And therein, verse 4 of chapter 5 says this. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, who was it that overcame the world? Who was it? The Lord Jesus Christ. But I said you can't separate the Lord Jesus Christ and faith. Included in this faith, I believe, is grace to die for those that need it. Not everybody's going to need it. I don't know who they are. You don't know who they are. God knows who they are, and he has it reserved for those that's going to need it. And for those that don't need it, it's not reserved for them. Because we'll be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. We'll be translated. So we see that saving faith is the beginning of our salvation. Living faith is the continuing of our salvation. And keeping faith is the security of our salvation and the conclusion of our salvation. Thank God for saving faith. Thank God for living faith. Well, I could relate to that message Brother Phillips preached. And Brother Duval preached. And I'm not trying to exalt these men or these messages above anybody else, but those are things that touch my heart. Brother, you suffer and you have tribulations, then you thank God for this faith. And how are we able to come through those things in life? It's this faith. But thank God for keeping faith.
We're living by faith. We're trusting Jesus every day. But now what's going to happen to this faith? That's right. 1 John 3:2 said, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We won't need this faith any longer. That's why Paul said, now is faith. You wonder why he said that?
Now is faith. Right now is faith.
There's going to be a time we're not going to need that. Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot separate Christ and faith. Amen. He is our Christ and he is our faith. Amen. And God through Christ has given us this faith. Amen. And one day, we'll no longer need this faith. But we'll see him face to face. No wonder the song is written. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I penned right under that, Christ's victory. I'm so glad today the Lord saved me when I was 15 years old. I didn't know anything about him. Nobody ever came to me and read me the Romans Road. Nobody ever witnessed to me. Nobody. But God knew where I was. He not only knew where I was, I didn't know it then, but I know it now. He loved me in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. I know that now. But it didn't take me to know that to be saved. And he went to Calvary and bought me. And then he came one day and he sought me. And he not only sought me, but he brought me. And he gave me saving faith. And then to add to that blessing, he's enabled me to live for him by living faith. Amen. And he keeps me till that day that he's going to be revealed. And I want to see him face to face by keeping faith. Amen.
Do we have to stop now?
No.
I tell you. You know, I've thought several times through the years since we've been trying to ask our churches to sponsor these conferences. You know, a preacher knows what his people needs. And sometimes you get it on your mind, I'm going to ask, I've heard this brother preach this message on. You know, what my people need. I believe I'll ask him to preach that one, and then I'll ask this other to preach that one. And every time I get to thinking about that, it seems like the Lord says, now, son, I'll take care of the messages. He'll do it. I've tried to preach on a few programs where they told me what to preach. And if I'd have done what I ought to have done when I got home, I'd write on the outline FLOP. And I do have some outlines. Some of you brethren that want my outline sometime, don't be surprised when you get in that old briefcase if you run across one or two that has the word flop written on them, because that's exactly. I like Brother Hilly. I tried to preach on a living dog. It's better than a dead lion, and I'd get the wrong one dead and the wrong one living. It didn't work. It's been wonderful. I don't know when the Lord's coming, but I do know he's coming. And
And this kind of a spirit and these kind of messages didn't just happen. The Lord gave them to us because this is our need. To come, and I know you, brethren. Brother Titus said he'd been on the juniper tree. Who hasn't? But it's a disgrace when we get to the place to think that there's nobody else standing for anything except us. Because that doubt, that leaves doubt on what our brothers preach today. On the blessing of God. I read in the book of Jonah, where the Bible said, and the word came unto Jonah the second time. And the Lord has spoken to me, and I don't mean by that I heard a voice. A brother today, I'm not going to tell you who he is, he can tell you if he wants to.